Welcome to Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Tesvav, Chapter 15. The first two psukim that we're going to study are going to be psukim Aleph and Dalet, and they're both on the topic of speech again. And this time they're less about the content of speech and more about the way speech is expressed. So, pasuk Aleph, Ma ne'rach yoshiv chema. A soft answer turns away anger. Udvar etzev ya'aleaf. But grievous words stir up anger. Meaning, the way you respond to someone's outburst or in a sensitive situation can determine whether the situation is going to dissipate or whether it's going to escalate. If you respond in a gentle, calm, courteous way, it can calm the whole situation down. But on the other hand, if you respond with anger or a harsh or insulting response, it can just escalate the situation and it can increase the tension. Now, if you'll notice, we have two words for anger in this pasuk. Chema, ma nerach yoshiv chema, and af. Udvar etzev ya'ale af. Now the Malbim explains that this refers to two different types of anger. Chema is an internal anger. It's a deep burning emotion of resentment, a deep burning anger. And he compares it to a burning fire, like when you're really, really upset at somebody. But af, on the other hand, it's more of an external expression of anger. It doesn't necessarily reflect intense emotions, like think a parent shouting at a child, or even somebody who's yelling at another driver on the road from the inside of their car. It's like an external expression. And you see af more because it's what is expressed, but chema is actually the stronger of the two. Chema is an actual emotion. Af is often just superficial. So when you think of a very frustrated parent shouting at a child, it can look pretty scary, but it's not an expression of strong emotions of anger. It's anger, but it's not deep-rooted. And that's af. So what is this pasuk teaching? Ma nerach yashiv chema. When someone responds with a soft answer, a gentle, calm, non-defensive response, he can dispel even chema. He can dispel even the deep internal fury. You can calm a genuinely raging person with a gentle and calm response. And whether this response is an apology or it's an expression of sympathy, you can diffuse the situation with chema. But then, on the other hand, udvar etzev ya'aleaf, grievous words stir up anger. Meaning if someone's really upset, but maybe they haven't yet expressed it, there's no external expression of the af. It's just in the form of emotion. It's inside of them. But then you say udvar etzev, something triggering or cruel or mocking or failing to show empathy or understanding, then ya'aleaf, it can bring up a display of anger. It can stir up and trigger visible rage and retaliation. So when somebody's upset, our words can either diffuse or escalate the situation. A calm response can soothe even very deep rage, chema, and it can totally reverse the emotional dynamic. But a hurtful response is a bit like pouring fuel on a fire, and it stirs up this visible anger when it wasn't there before. And this is very connected to Pasuk Dalet, which says, Marpei lashon eitz chayim. A soft-spoken, healing tongue is a tree of life. V'selef ba shever berach, but distortion with the tongue, is a wound to the spirit. It's a source of disappointment and a source of pain. Meaning, when a person speaks calmly and kindly and respectfully, it brings life, it brings growth, it brings healing. It's like a tree of life. Their words nourish relationships, their words uplift others. But if someone distorts their speech to speak harshly or aggressively, then their words are not accepted by other people and it causes people to reject their message. Now the Ralbag understands this pasuk to mean that soft and kind words are a tree of life to yourself. Because in a situation when someone's feeling angry or aggressive towards you, your softly spoken words can appease them, like we discussed in the previous pasuk, and it can diffuse the situation and it will protect you from their anger. It's a tree of life for you. But on the other hand, if you respond with aggression or you provoke an angry person further, and you increase their anger, you escalate the situation, you are the one who's unfortunately going to suffer the most from this. So this is another pasuk about the emotional power of speech during a conflict, that there's a soothing kind of speech that reconciles, that diffuses tension, that protects relationships. And then there's aggressive, provocative, triggering speech that escalates conflict and can really cause a lot of damage. And the ideas in these psukim have very important implications for the way that we express ourselves in tense situations. Because difficult conversations and conflict are unfortunately part of life, but the way that we deal with it is really where it's at. Rav Volpe discusses a Gemara in Gittin that says that when people create environments of excessive fear and excessive tension in their homes, they create these volatile environments where there's fear of anger, then it can lead to Gilui Aris, forbidden relationships, murder, and Chilul Shabbos. And this Gemara references the Mishnah in Shabbos in Bamei Madlikin that says that a person needs to say three things on Erev Shabbos as darkness starts to fall. Firstly, they must ask, did you take Maisa? Because you can't take Maisa or fruit and vegetables once Shabbos is in. So you have to check before Shabbos that someone took the Maisa or you won't have food. So you ask, did you take Maisa? And then you ask, Eravtem, did you make an Erev? And then if the answer is yes, then the response is, Hadliku Esaner, it's time to light the Shabbos candles. It's the equivalent of asking, did you turn out the lights? Did you turn the crock pot down too low? Did you set up the urn? It's those usual Erev Shabbos questions. Says Rabbi Bar Bar Chana over there, that these things need to be said very calmly. They need to be asked very calmly so that they will be accepted. Think about what Erev Shabbos looks like. We run around screaming last minute instructions and there's like this panic and tension of, did you do this? Have you remembered to do that? But imagine someone forgot to do something really important and they're terrified of your reaction because you're volatile. What do you think their response will be? Do you think they'll tell you that they forgot to separate Maisa if they're terrified of your response? Maybe, just maybe, a child or a spouse could be so afraid of someone's reaction that they might not tell the truth. And as the Gemara in Gittin says, that could lead to serious breaches in Halacha. It could lead a person to eat things that are forbidden, in Hilcha Shabbos, in Taras HaMishpacha, and it brings examples of cases where these kind of things happen. But if you ask these questions in a calm way, and the other person knows that you'll respond in a calm way, whatever happens, if you say you didn't take Maisa, we'll make a plan. And they'll feel safe to tell you the truth. Fear and intimidation, it's not conducive in getting people to be honest. It's not conducive in getting people to tell the truth. So again, you know, difficult conversations, conflicts, mistakes, they're all part of life. But the way that we speak and the way that we respond in these tense situations can have really enormous ramifications. When people are afraid, they don't engage. They're afraid to share something difficult. They're afraid to say they've messed up. They're afraid to say they've lost a lot of money or they made a mistake in halacha. Or if a child has something big going on in their life, maybe they're worried their parents will go nuts if they tell them. So they self-preserve and they just rather don't bring it up. But what we learn from these psukim is to respond softly, to not create environments of fear. When someone close to us is going through something challenging, we want them to engage to us. We want them to come to us for security. We don't want them to be afraid of our reactions. We don't want them to keep it inside of them. We want people to feel that it's safe to make mistakes, that we can deal with whatever happens in a nice kind of way. And then let's move on to look at another pasuk in this parak, pasuk Kaf Daled, and it's on a completely different theme. The pasuk says, Ora chaim lemala lemaskil, the way of life for the wise leads upward, leman sur misha'ol mata, so that he may turn away from the grave beneath. Meaning, if you don't want to fall all the way down, you have to keep trying to climb higher. It's like that very cliched analogy of trying to climb up a downwards escalator. If you keep still, you'll just keep going downwards. The pull of the escalator will pull you down. And the only way to get anywhere is to use all your energy to just keep going up, climbing, climbing. Now, the Sichas Moser says that this pasuk teaches us that we have to be very careful not to allow our Yiddishkeit, not to allow our observance to become routine, but rather we have to keep on moving upwards the whole time, pushing ourselves to move upwards, lemala lemaskil. Very important not to get stuck in a rut of davening every day where there's no feeling and there's no connection and we're just saying the words because this is what we do. It's very important not to get stuck in a routine of Shabbos every single week where we go through the motions of shopping and cooking and setting the table and serving and clearing up, and the routine can even include going to shul week after week. Shabbos comes every week. How do we ensure that it's fresh and that this week's Shabbos is qualitatively different to last week's Shabbos? How do we prevent ourselves from not getting in a routine, from not getting stuck in this rut? And Rachmana Libabai, Hashem wants our hearts, He wants our feelings, He wants our passion in our mitzvah observance. He doesn't want routine. But because we do these things every day or every week or even every year, it's sometimes a real challenge to keep things fresh. The Rekeach, who was a German medieval mekubel, he said that the greatest challenge, the hardest mitzvah, is kavana in tefillah, to have intention when we daven. Because it's every day, the same words. We say over and over again, every single day, the same words. It's so hard to maintain that kavanah. And most of us can probably really relate to this. It's really hard not to get stuck in a rut. So how do we get out of this? How do we stay fresh? Says the Sichas Moser, quoting our pasuk, Ora chayim lemala lemaskil, the path of life must constantly move upwards. How do we get out of being stuck in a routine? Through constant upwards growth. We keep things fresh by constantly moving lemala lemaskil. If our Ora Chaim is not lemala lemaskil, it's not a path of constant learning and growth, then we fall into this trap of routine and it stops being engaging and it stops being exciting. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech describes in this pasuk as Sha'ol Mota, the grave. And that's why programs like the OU Women's Initiative are so meaningful. If you learn something inspiring every day, then you're inspired for that day. So I don't believe that a shiur can change a person's life. Maybe it happens to some people. But I think for most of us, it's very hard to retain inspiration, even if it was an unbelievable shiur. But listening to a shiur every day, it can most definitely change a life. Because for a short time after you hear in tefillah, so you daven better, you're inspired for that time. Maybe it lasts a day, maybe it lasts a week. But for that time, your tefillah improves. If you hear about a shiur about Purim, it makes a difference to the way you relate to Purim that year. If you hear a shiur on chesed, so then for the next few days after that, you try and be more present when giving, or you're more attentive of the recipient's needs. Learning is a constant path of upward growth. The Kotzker Rebbe quotes the Yid HaKadosh, and he says that every day, when he makes the bracha of Shelo Yesani Goy, that I thank Hashem for not making me a Gentile, what he has in mind is that the difference I feel in my growth and my avodas Hashem between today and yesterday is like the difference between being a non-Jew and a Jew. Says the Yid HaKadosh, I was like a Goy yesterday, I was like a Gentile yesterday compared to the growth and the connection I feel today. He was expressing a feeling of constant freshness in his Yiddishkeit. And in this bracha, he thanks Hashem for not making me a Goy relative to yesterday. Thank you that I'm not as undeveloped spiritually as I was yesterday. I'm a more developed and sophisticated Jew today. This is what it means to have a life of constant growth and constant freshness. And it sounds amazing, but really it's essential. Because if I'm not a different person today, then why do I need today? Yesterday would have been enough. If I get tomorrow, it's because there's something new for me to accomplish tomorrow. Every day needs to have something more about it than yesterday did, or otherwise there's no point in today. Ora Chaim lemala lemaskil. The path of life must constantly move upwards. We need to build in our consistent learning and find consistent opportunities for inspiration so that our observance is fresh every single day. Just imagine we woke up with this pasuk in mind every single day and we asked ourselves, how am I moving upwards today? What is the point of today? What am I doing today in my thoughts, in my behavior, to justify another day in this world so that it should be more than it was yesterday? Thank you for studying together in the merit for Refuah Shelema for Yonina Sima Bas Daphna Hinder and the wounded members of Sahal amongst all those who are ill amongst Klal Yisrael, sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.